I want us to realize what we're talking about on this series about lust is seeing how the sin of lust, the sin of, you know, especially sexual sin and of giving into sexual sin, even when we're younger, and we talked about David with Bathsheba. Everyone knows the story about David and Bathsheba, and we talked about that during the series. But that David, you know, did not go out to war with the other men because people told him it was more important for him to stay home. And so maybe that was his first mistake, you know, that he maybe thought too highly of himself. And, I mean, we understand it. No one's putting our president on the front line of battle, but actually back then they did. And they would surround him, you know, with troops. But anyway, but David stayed home. So basically most of the men were out fighting and David saw Bathsheba bathing and rather Bathsheba thought there were no men around and it was okay or however that works, I'm not sure. But we do know that as far as you could tell, Bathsheba was not trying to seduce anybody. She wasn't trying to do anything to stir someone to lust, which let me encourage you ladies and nowadays men too, try not to do things that stir up lust in others. You know, be modest and really think about what you're wearing, what you're saying, and what you're watching on TV and all those kind of things. Because it was that being stirred to lust that David seeing Bathsheba, you know, he couldn't get that out of his thinking. And we talked about that. And pretty soon he kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And then he had her brought to him. And then we don't know if she thought, wow, this is the king. Isn't this great? Because the king had many wives back in those days. Whether she really loved her husband and just could not believe it. It doesn't give us enough details to see if she was date raped or if she was afraid or if she also was being seduced by the precept of being with the king. We do know that it doesn't show that she sinned. I mean, that the Lord blessed her with Solomon. And when the Lord rebuked, it was David who was rebuked, not Bathsheba. And actually, when the prophet came to talk to David, he used like a parable about a little lamb, about the woman or sheep belonging to someone else. And so the Lord specifically put the blame on David and his lust and him giving into sin. And then we all know the story. So the first thing that happened after David lusted and got into the situation, if you follow the story, and we've been talking about this on this series, but he then had the husband killed. And we talked about all that because the husband came back. First, he had the husband come home from war, and he tried to get the husband to sleep with his wife, but the husband wouldn't do it because he did not want to be having that kind of pleasure while their nation was at war. And his friends were not able to experience that kind of pleasure. And then David even tried to get him drunk and make it happen, but instead he passed out. And so we see David really trying to get out of a mess. How many of you know that when you get in a mess, you need to quit trying to use deception to try to get out of a mess? Deception is just going to get you into a deeper mess. It's going to catch up with you at some point in time. And so finally, it didn't work. And so David had Bathsheba's husband sent out on the front lines and specifically had him put in battle where he would die. Now, we all know that God could have supernaturally protected him, and the Lord didn't. The Lord allowed David to follow through and become a murderer, okay? So we see that lust led to murder. And I would venture to say that David never in his wildest dreams, as a young boy who loved the Lord, as he was, you know, he was a shepherd in his dad's field, and even when he killed Goliath and everything he went through, I would venture to say there was no indicator that he had murder in his heart. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, and David really loved the Lord, and he repented towards the Lord. When the prophet came, he fell, you know, down and basically said, God, forgive me. And he knew it was God that he has sinned against. I think sometimes we don't realize that it's God we sin against. You know, something, oh, well, you know, you sin against your wife or you sin against a friend or a parent or whatever. But the real revelation needs to be you sin against God. You sin against God. You know, if you turn that computer screen on and look at that pornography, you are sinning against God. Even if you think you get away with it because no one catches you or your wife doesn't catch you, you're actually, you have to realize God is there and you are sinning against God. And so that's the beginning of the fear of the Lord. So whatever it takes in your life not to sin against God, really cry out and pray for the grace to not to sin against God. And until it hits you hard that the sin is against God, you're never really going to get free from that sin. If it's just because you got caught or you're trying to do things right or you feel bad, those things are not going to really help you get free. It's when you get the fear of the Lord and the revelation that I have sinned against God. And David knew that, and yet David still paid some consequences. Big, big consequences. Now, who knows where David broke a spiritual law to make him a murderer? Very well could be when he judged Saul, when Saul was trying to kill him. And it could be the time when Saul, when Saul was sleeping and David snuck up on him. This is on the scriptures. I'm not going to, it's in 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings. You can go study it. But there was a time when Saul was trying to kill David, and David snuck up on him and cut part of his robe to say, look what I could do. Maybe even toying with the idea of killing Saul or playing that game. You know, could have begun opening the door for the enemy to set this up. David probably questioned, why would Saul kill him? How could he do that? And that's judging Saul. So David broke some spiritual laws along the way that opened him up to murder, something he probably really thought he could never do except as a leader in war, but not a murder of someone innocent and not in war. So now we're years later, Solomon has been born, and God's blessed Bathsheba with Solomon, and Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Although if you study Solomon, we're not going to get into that, but go study it. It's pretty interesting. Solomon had, he's supposed to be the wisest of men, yet he had hundreds of wives and then lots of concubines. And he's also the one who wrote a lot of the Proverbs about, you know, he'd rather go, you know, up in the attic than be with a nagging wife and that kind of thing. So even though he was so wise, he still had some areas of lust and things operating in his life that caused him some issues. But in 2 Samuel 13, I wanted us to look at a situation that happened that I believe that David's lust and David's raping Bathsheba led to. And so that spirit of rape, that spirit of lust that led to rape. Now, sometimes people say, well, rape is never about sex. But I don't believe that. I believe it is about violence. I believe it is a violation. But I do believe that David did not, if you want to call it date rape or whatever you want to call it, Bathsheba, I don't think it was based on he hated his mother and he wanted to violate this woman. I really do believe that there is a lot of lust, of sexual lust, passion being raised up that's not of the Holy Spirit that leads to rape. I also believe it can be a lot of other issues and a lot of hatred and hatred towards women, but it can be also not saying no to your lust, not stopping that demon from getting so strong that it does what it wants. And so you see this same spirit of wanting sexual gratification in off-limit ways coming onto his son in 2 Samuel 13. So let's see. Let's just start there. It happened that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister, and her name was Tamar. Now, Absalom is one of David's sons from a different wife, not from Bathsheba, and not from the same wife as Tamar, okay? And her name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Okay, Tamar and Absalom had the same father and mother. Absalom and, okay, so, and then Tamar and Amnon and Absalom all had the same father. Amnon, he had a different mother than did Absalom and Tamar, okay? And the king was allowed to have a lot of wives. So Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon, that's what he thought. He thought he really loved her, okay? And Amnon was distressed. And the word distressed means vexed, okay? And we had teaching on vexed. Vexed means it's tormenting. There's devils involved. It's beyond just the soul, the flesh, and it's moved into a spiritual thing. So Amnon was vexed, even to becoming sick. There can be such a selfishness in people that they get so obsessed with their lustful desires being met that they can literally have physical problems and sickness if they do not get that need met. And they just concentrate on it, and the enemy comes in, and the spirit of infirmity comes in. And so he was so obsessed. He couldn't get his thoughts off of her. He wanted to be with her. He thought he loved her. He was very delusional. You're going to see in a few minutes, he didn't love her. He was very delusional. You see a lot of this in young people today because of, I believe, all the things taught, you know, on soap operas and television and those TV movies, and it all makes love about this big passionate thing full of jealousy and perversion, and that's just not true. It's delusional. It's a counterfeit way of life from what the Lord had intended. And so we see Amnon here. He was vexed. He had distressed. He was upset. He was fretting. He was thinking about it, and the devil was involved in his thought life about it, even to becoming sick because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and it was hard in the eyes of Amnon to do anything to her. He knew it would be wrong, because she was a virgin, and in King David's day, you could not marry if you lost your virginity. You would be shamed. You would basically have to find someone in the family to take care of you the rest of your life, and you'd never have a real future. And so he knew that he could not. He knew it was wrong. I mean, there was some conscience left that it would be wrong to take her virginity. I'm sure as the king's son, as bad as this probably is, they probably could do what they want to most of the peasants or anyone else. But this was royalty, and she was a virgin, and it would be completely destroying her future. And even it was hard in his eyes to do anything to her, though that lust, that spirit of lust, really wanted to. So I want you to see the conflict here that people in who have a spirit of lust deal with. And some of you are dealing with this, and some of you need to really rise up and hate this thing with a passion and cry out for deliverance. But here was Amnon. He wanted this. He kept thinking about it. Your first thing is to cast down imaginations. When that lustful thought of going to that computer or going to that video store or turning that thing on, or for ladies, you know, trying to go on that hot date and get the guy where he's really, you know, telling you how beautiful you are, and all these different things, and all the soap opera thinking and the television thinking and the movies and all this stuff that is being flooded into you as what real love is. You know, we need to break free from all of that and really see what God says. But he's, you know, you've got to see this struggle so you don't just think this guy's just a straight-out creep. This straight-out creep could be any of you. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. And so the distressed part and the vexed part is a part where he gives into those spirits that have him thinking on those things. You know, you can apply this to so many things. You look at these people who lose it and shoot people and lose it and do crazy things. There's a vexation that goes on there where they begin to think on it and think on it. And people do things they never thought they would do when they don't cast down unholy imaginations, when they don't cast down these ideas that come in their head and they somehow begin to think on it. You need to get very, 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 very serious about taking authority over what comes into your thought process. See, that's really eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. and just, you know, opening up your mind to whatever the enemy wants to throw in there. And especially as a child of God, we are told to take authority over our thoughts and cast down every imagination. That's a dream, that is a thought, that is a word spoken, anything that's trying to get into your mind to cause you to think on it, to cause you to imagine something, to cause you to fantasize. Obviously, the way he was vexed, he had been fantasizing about being with her. And he crossed into delusion. It says, and Amnon had a friend. We all have friends like this. No, hope not. And his name, and please don't be a friend like this. Some of you need to be set free from that. And his name was Jonadab, I guess. Anyway, David's brother, the son of Shimea, David's brother. So Jonadab would be his cousin, right? It would be his cousin. And we do know a lot of people hang out with their cousins. I know my sons are very close to their cousin. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. And we did a study on this before, and the word shrewd is someone who actually thinks things through, but in an evil way. And we broke the power of that. We got teaching on that for you. And he said to him, why are you the king's son so puny morning by morning? Will you not tell me? In other words, what's your problem? You're the king's son. You can do whatever you want. You can have whatever you want. You're the king's son. Why are you just so puny? Why are you so pitiful, so sad? So what's going on with you? Just tell me. And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And for one thing here in his wording, you can see he begins to, his delusion is, this is my brother's sister, not mine.